I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Now that the NFL has increased the playoff field by 2 teams, should the way we view team expectations change? Is it enough to simply make the playoffs for the Bears, or should GM Ryan Pace be expected to win in the playoffs in order to return for another season, and will it be easier for the Bears?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, about how I want to weigh my expectations, and frankly, I don't even know that we're going to notice one more game, one more team. I keep thinking that home field advantage becomes a bigger deal in terms of being the number one seed. Now the number one seed and only the number one seed gets that bye, and how will that play out? What will happen at the end of a year? Do you hold a guy out? Are you going to play all your guys? Because guess what? We need to win in order to keep the number one seed. It changes that whole argument. And as much as I want to pick it apart, I go back and I remember that the Ravens were the best team in football last year, and they lost. They came right out of the gate and lost. And I don't know if that means they were doing it with smoke and mirrors, and you get into the playoffs and all of a sudden the quarterback can't hit the broadside of a barn for some reason. I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate that particular team, but it gives me more hope that happened, because I think that we're going to be seeing the two teams with the best record already. They're the best teams. They got the best record, and now they're going to have that bye. It becomes even more important since only one team in each conference has it, and if we see those teams in the Super Bowl every year for 5 years, well, guess what? They're going to have to expand and get everybody in the playoffs. So at this point, with just one game, I am not going to say that you got to kind of watch the season unfold and how it happens. Can a team catch fire? Can a team make a late run? Can a team crawl in at 8-8 and then all of a sudden find magic and just end up making a run to the Super Bowl? So I think that it's going to be hard to evaluate the playoffs and individual teams until we see how it happens. But it's just one more game, and that means revenue. And that means that expectations probably change ever so slightly, but only ever so slightly. And I think that Ryan Pace, even in the old system, you probably need to win and win in the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen teams win divisions and get coaches fired, right? We've seen teams get to the Super Bowl. We saw a team here in Chicago get to the Super Bowl and fire their defensive coordinator. So, effectively, anyway. So yeah, I don't think that... I don't think it's going to make that huge an impact.
And the Bears went 10-6 in 2012 and fired their coach because he didn't get to the playoffs. How'd that work out? You know, I think that when you look at the arguments about, you know, well, it's diluting the playoffs and it's going to be a watered-down version, I understand that discussion, but I don't think anybody's going to be making that argument come Monday morning after the first weekend of having 6 playoff games. It just doesn't seem to be the case. If an 8-8 team beats a number 2 seed, I think we'll probably be talking about how big of an upset that was and what that says about how great the NFL playoffs are. I don't know that I get that the argument necessarily, because the playoffs are great in the NFL. It isn't broken, no, but I think that this enhances the interest, and certainly it gives teams in NFL cities something more attainable, perhaps, because if you add a team, you get to the playoffs, and it still does mean something. So if you're in the context of the Bears in Chicago, Ryan Pace making the playoffs next year, even in an expanded field, would represent something tangible, something in the way of progress. How do you get there? That's a really good point, because if you start out fast and you kind of really struggle down the stretch and the arrow isn't necessarily pointing up, then you've got some issues to look at internally and you might want to make a change anyway. But if you're in the playoffs, I think that's a pretty good standard to have to meet if you're the Bears at the stage that they are at. If they get to the playoffs and lose, how do they lose? You know, why do they lose? I don't know that you can just have a blanket answer to if they get to the playoffs, they have to win for him to keep his job. I don't think it's that simple. I am in favor of this expanded field. I think it's great for everybody.
Well, I mean, the expanded field is one thing, but just because there are upsets and a lot of football games, the more of a quantity of games in the playoffs doesn't mean the quality is going to be any better. If anything, the quality will be worse. I mean, even without the expanded playoff field, you can go back to last year's playoffs and that horrific Buffalo versus Houston game. Of course, yeah, it was exciting because it came down to the end of the game, and the quality of play, though, was just so bad. There was a reason it was a close game, because both of those teams sucked. And it's going to be more teams that suck that are in the playoffs. And just because there's three games on now on Wild Card Saturday and Sunday instead of two games, yeah, of course, everybody's going to be making more money. And a lot of people will enjoy it. But the quality of play is not going to be any better. As far as Ryan Pace needing to make the playoffs to keep his job, yeah, absolutely. He's been here for 5 years and has been to the playoffs one time. I know in this city in particular, executives and general managers and VPs tend to keep their jobs way longer than they should in a lot of the different sports. But I think Ryan Pace in particular realizes that his seat is getting a little warm, and all of the moves that he's made this offseason have kind of spoken to that. I think even he is aware of the fact that he does need to make the playoffs to keep his job. And obviously, if more teams are involved and let into the playoffs now, it will be easier for him. So good news for Ryan Pace, I guess.
Kevin, I understand your thought on the quality of play, but I think this is just going to make the stakes higher at the end of the season when you have two more teams that are fighting for their postseason lives. I think this is going to be a good thing, particularly at the end of the season. And hell, I'm all about three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday on Wild Card Weekend. I just have to hope that they are good games. But that's exciting to me, the prospect of that. And reducing the number of teams to one that get a first round bye is an interesting nuance to all this, because since 2012, only teams that have had that first round bye have won the Super Bowl. So all of this is interesting stuff. In terms of the Bears, you should be hoping that they win a playoff game, but it's all about, David, as you pointed out, what transpires. If the Bears make the postseason and they fall short because of bad quarterback play, that's the scenario, I think, that you have to look at where Ryan Pace gets fired. But if it's for some other reason, maybe not. The quarterback is the biggest issue right now, and we're going to see in 2020, hopefully, if this issue has finally been solved for the Bears.
You can always sign me up for more football. More football, more sports, bigger stakes, harder hits. This is an old bit between Mully and I, if Mully remembers this one. That's what we want. We want big pieces of meat cooked over charcoal grills, hard hits, and more football. That's, forget about apple pie, Chevrolet, and baseball. Big pieces of meat, charcoal grill, hard-hitting NFL football. Give me more of that. Now, Kevin, quality of play, the quality of play in the regular season should go up, because that number one seed, that number one seed is going to be so precious. So more teams will be playing at a higher level.
They weren't trying before, and now they're going to start trying harder because
Well, week 17 matters more. I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly. There were week 16 and 17. There were weeks that did not matter. That's a fact. Kevin, the quality of play thing isn't even part of this question. But you're like off the reservation. You are absolutely off the reservation.
I'm actually at the studio right now. I'm here.
You're making me, if it wasn't an edict that I wasn't allowed to go into the NBC Tower, or not, we're in the Prudential building right now, the NBC Tower was a decade ago. I'd come down there and kick your rear end. I mean, I'll show you quality of play, mister. Okay? Stop it. Absolutely stop
Crazy.
It. More flip. Now, Ryan Pace has to get in the postseason. With having an extra team in, I think Ryan Pace has to get in. I don't think he has to win, but I think he has to be in the conversation, and it would be really, really nice for him to be there.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
What do you think was going through Mitch Trubisky's mind Tuesday as the Bears welcomed Nick Foles via social media, and Foles shot a video for the team's Instagram account about how excited he was about coming to Chicago? How aware do the Bears have to be about treating Foles like the number one guy in light of Ryan Pace's public support of Mitch? And what do you expect Pace to say when he does address the Foles trade?
I know we're in a position where we get to overanalyze everything now because we don't have much else to do, but I was struck by how elaborate, might be overstating it, but certainly the Bears made Nick Foles feel as welcome as you could be if you're an NFL quarterback who just traded to a new team. The virtual hug, you know, it's a long embrace, and he was all over it. And if you're Mitch Trubisky and you're watching that, and or even if you didn't see that, if you're aware of what's going on here, you are embracing the challenge, because you can't look at it any other way. It is a challenge to your NFL longevity, because as a starting quarterback, you had a certain, and last year he was the unchallenged starting quarterback, and there's a difference in mindset for him coming into this season. There's got to be, because if the competition is truly open, and I don't know that if it's an open competition, great, but I think that maybe Foles has an advantage here. He certainly, there's a lot of love for a guy if he's just going to come here and get paid a lot of money, you know, guaranteed a lot of money to be a mentor or a backup or hold a clipboard. We have made a lot about how he's a better reliever than a starter, and I think he's going to be your primary starter, and certainly that he looks the part, and they presented him that way. Ryan Pace, all he's got to do is stay consistent with what he has said all along, open competition. He doesn't really ever have to mean what he says, so I don't even think it matters what he says, but I think he'll probably say Nick Foles is here because he's a leader, he's a winner, and we want him to make everybody in that quarterback room, that very important quarterback room, better, and I think that's going to be the tone.
Yeah, well, I kind of stopped listening to Ryan Pace a while ago, so I'm not too worried about what he says. It's what you do. And here's the thing about Mitch. You know, think about it as sugar and spice, right? They tried to feed this guy dessert, and now they're going to give him a little spicy plate of food and see how he reacts to it, right? You got to have an iron stomach if you want to be a quarterback in the NFL. You should be challenged every year. You should have somebody behind you that is pushing you, not trying to coach you up, right? They have a quarterback now. They went out and got a quarterback, and they acted accordingly. They didn't bring in another quarterback coach, although they have a lot of quarterback coaches up there. So I think it's a good thing for everyone involved. You know, this coddling of Mitch is finally over. Now, finally, in his fourth season, there is an expectation that if he can't do it, guess what? He's replaced. They waited long enough. In fact, you could argue they waited too long, and they should have made a move a year ago when things started to fall apart. You don't get to lose four consecutive games in the NFL. That's not something that happens. You lose one game, everybody, hey, we're going to stay the course, everything's all right. You lose two, yeah, you know what? We're kind of in trouble. By the time you get to three losses in a row, someone's got to go. You got to make a move. You got to make a change. That's the NFL. So I think everything they have done has been operating in one way toward Mitch. And guess what? The party's over. So they got a new guy here. And look at the money. Does anyone think that he's not going to start Nick Foles? Nick Foles, if it's an open competition, is going to win it. And he's going to start, and he's going to be the quarterback. And we're going to bury the storyline of what happened with the number two overall pick, and why did you trade up for it, and why did you take this guy, and why didn't you get the Hall of Famer? All that stuff, it's just a tiresome storyline that you can finally put to bed. Have they picked up the option yet for Mitch? I forget. When is the date? Everything's sequential. Well, guess what?
May 3rd.
In the sequence, they got themselves a new quarterback. So we got to wait another month for that.
Well, I don't think anything is really ever going through Mitch Trubisky's mind at any given time. But I think if he was watching that Instagram video with Nick Foles yesterday, I don't know if he was, but probably doesn't feel too confident, doesn't feel like he's being coddled anymore, Mully. I think you're spot on there. And I'm glad that he's not being coddled anymore either, because his performance did not dictate coddling. Just because you're taken high up in the draft and you are anointed the guy and the general manager has all of his expectations and hopes riding on your right arm, it doesn't necessarily make you worthy of that spot. And he's not been worthy of that spot. He's been woefully below average pretty much every season that he's been here. You don't trade for a former Super Bowl MVP that's making $15 million if you don't think he's going to be the starter. And I know that Nick Foles' history has shown him to be better in relief than as a starter, David, to your point. But I think with the Bears in the situation that they are in, win-now mode with a defense and a special teams unit that are very good and are ready to win at this point, this season, if there is one, I mean, you have to go with Nick Foles over Mitchell Trubisky. And as far as Ryan Pace, yeah, I stopped listening to him a long time ago as well.
What was Mitch Trubisky thinking when he saw that Nick Foles video? Wow, this just got a little more real. I mean, it's got to be really hitting him now, if it hasn't already. In terms of this issue about Ryan Pace's public support of Trubisky, I hope that's not even anything that anybody like Matt Nagy is mindful of whatsoever. I mean, this should be just a straight-up competition, and whoever is, you know, looking the best is the starter. I don't know if that will be the case, though. What do you expect Pace to say when he addresses the Foles trade? You know, the usual, Nick has a championship pedigree. He's going to be a leader in our locker room and in the quarterback room, and he's going to mentor Mitch. I'd rather hear him just say simply, the situation is fluid, but I don't know if we're going to hear that.
Yeah, Mitch's 4 years of eligibility, the scholarship is over. Okay, this is the fifth year. He's not being guaranteed. He's not going to graduate school. I hope he saw it. I hope this helps light a fire under his rear end. But you can't pay $19 million and give up a fourth-round pick just to light a fire under Mitchell Trubisky's backside. As you guys talked about in the first segment, follow the money. You're paying this guy almost $20 million. If that's just to motivate Mitch, then I think they're doing this all wrong. I want Nick Foles to take the majority of the snaps up at Halas Hall whenever training camp starts, and when and where the first game of the NFL season is played. I want Nick Foles under center throwing the ball. That's it.
Ooh, that's a good question.
NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Pasch said the league's focus has been on a normal traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. How surprising was Pasch's optimism on behalf of the NFL?
Oh, I don't think it was surprising at all. I think the NFL has been trying to forge ahead with business and trying to pretend like everything is going to be fine and they're going to be able to get to where they want to go, and I don't blame them for feeling that way. He also said that that's our expectation. Am I certain of that? I'm not certain I'll be here tomorrow, but I'm planning on it, and in the same way we're planning. I mean, listen, I guess he means he could get hit by a bus or maybe hit by something else. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you proceed as if everything is going to be normal, and then you shift accordingly as normal changes for you. They've got time, so they're just biding their time. And the fact that they didn't release the schedule tells you that they don't know if they have the schedule done, but they've announced that they're pushing it back. Why? Well, because they don't know that they're going to be on that schedule, so they're waiting, biding their time, and then they will make decisions as they're forced to make them. Whenever someone says something, the new buzzword or the new buzz term, the new buzzword, I guess, aspirational. Oh, yeah. You know, that guy that was standing up there saying all that nonsense, that's just aspirational. That's something to aspire to, not something that's actually going to happen. So I think all that happened yesterday is the NFL was aspirational.
Which guy spewing nonsense? You're talking about Jeff Pasch here, right?
Any of the people.
Okay. Anybody. All right.
Pulling something out of their aspirational.
Maybe Pasch just meant he couldn't predict what would happen tomorrow. He might not know who he's going to shake hands with the next day because you never quite can tell.
I thought we were doing jazz hands now, David.
That's right. And elbows. You know, here's the one thing that has stood out to me about the NFL's consistency in its stance, whether it's Jeff Pasch, Roger Goodell, or anybody speaking on the league's behalf. When you hear other commissioners and other people involved with other leagues, like the NBA and Major League Baseball, from Rob Manfred, Adam Silver, and the NHL even, you hear alternatives. You hear a lot of different possibilities being considered and openly discussed, whether it's a July 4th opening day for Major League Baseball or one of the many NBA ideas about going somewhere and doing a tournament. There's been kind of like a spitballing publicly, and I think it's been really interesting to entertain some of those possibilities, and it's sort of like this open discussion. The NFL, there's no open discussion. This is going to be what the league says it's going to be. They're going to maintain it because this is the NFL, and they are at a different level than the other leagues. So I'm not sure if it was optimism as much as it might have been arrogance. And I think that is consistent with the NFL stance, is that we know what we want to do. We believe we can do this. I don't know if there is necessarily doubt, but we're going to try to force this anyway, because as long as we continue this stance, we're going to speak it to existence, because we are all aspirational here.
Yeah, David, I think you're pretty much spot on there. This is definitely a very arrogant comment by Jeff Pasch, and I don't know who Jeff Pasch is if he walked in here wearing a name tag right now, but I'm sure he's a very rich man, and I'm sure that his ability to make more money in the future is dependent on there being a full NFL season with concessions and beer sales and TV rights and all of the things that come with an NFL season. So you can call it aspirational, you can call it arrogant, you can call it BS. It's probably a mixture of all of those things. This guy's a little bit of a clown for coming out and saying this so stringently, when really nobody has any idea when we're going to be able to get back to normal life. Not anybody, not a doctor, not a scientist, not anybody way smarter than Jeff Pasch. So this guy can go, Pasch off.
I don't take exception to a majority of it, except for the comment about playing in front of fans. Look, we've been measuring this pandemic in 2-week increments. Now the social distancing guidelines have been extended through the end of April. We're talking about September when we're talking about the NFL season. I mean, hopefully things will improve by then and get more back to normal, but the truth is, we don't know.
I mean, people aren't even really socially distancing. You look on Twitter, there's a whole group of people in New York City. There are all these idiots out on the lakefront that the mayor had to close the lake. We live in a country full of idiots that are not helping the case and trying to get back to real life and normality anytime soon.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. And if people are not taking this seriously, this is only going to prolong this whole situation. So people need to step up their game and improve and stay the hell home. But, in terms of the optimism, I think it's okay to say for now you're planning on starting the season on time. But playing in front of fans is the issue here. I think we're going to see a completely different world in terms of how we see games being played. I think you are going to see empty stadiums when sports does return, or at least a very, very reduced number of fans, if any. So that's the only part I took issue with here.
5:46 in the morning, Kevin finally said something right. People are being stupid about social distancing. You have to play by the rules. Now, I have no problem with what Jeff Pasch said. I wish Roger Goodell had said this. I don't think this needs to be like our government. We don't need to have the president and the vice president at press conferences together. This message.
What about the MyPillow guy?
You want to hear some fun audio? The Pope, Mike Francesa, had some thoughts about the MyPillow guy. But if we're going to go down that road, you're kind of teeing me up here, David. I didn't need to see the MyPillow guy. I know I sent you guys a text like, oh my gosh, here's the MyPillow guy. But what the MyPillow guy is doing is a really good thing. I just don't need to hear him tell me about God and everything else. So let's keep those things separate. So I don't need
Nick
to hear
Foles
from
or
Jeff.
The pillow guy.
I don't need to hear from Jeff Pasch. I want to hear from Roger Goodell. The NFL is selling hope, and there's nothing wrong with that right now. We need some hope in our lives. It would have been tone deaf for the NFL to have actually put out a schedule with a date and a location of a game for two teams playing head-to-head. That would have been tone deaf, so that's the first. That's a really good play by the NFL. The NFL is handling this, in my opinion, perfectly. I just don't need to hear from Jeff Pasch. I want to hear from one voice on league matters, and that's Roger Goodell.
I feel like that's kind of a condescending question.
Is it fair to wonder what the college football season will look like in a COVID-19 world? A recent anonymous survey of 112 D1 athletic directors by stadium found 85 of them believe there is at least a 70% chance the season goes on unencumbered. Do these odds encourage or frighten you?
Well, I think that's actually encouraging when you put it that way, isn't it? I mean, that's 3 out of 4 athletic directors believe that there's a 70% chance of there being a season as is scheduled. And I think that is the optimistic way to look at it. That was a pretty sobering story, though, because the quotes from the athletic directors who were polled anonymously kind of underscored, as we talked about earlier, just the economic devastation that athletic departments and universities would face without a fall full of football on Saturday afternoon. And some of the quotes were, it would be devastating and some other things. But one guy anonymously, a Power 5 AD, I think summed up exactly where I am with this and saying, quote, "I'm optimistic we'll have a season, but ask me again in May what I think. This is so fluid that we just don't know." And I think when you see some of those numbers, you could look at it a couple different ways. You could spin it as saying, you know, there's a lot of athletic directors out there who are fearing the worst and expect the worst, and yet none of them really answered, according to the survey, that there would be a less than 50% chance of having the season go on. So there's some optimism out there. I know I have a lot of friends in college athletic departments that I've touched base with over the past week or so. But there's a real anxiety that everybody shares with their own jobs, with their own futures. But I like the way that Dustin put it with the NFL. You know, they're trying to sell hope, and I think every sports entity is going to try to do that to whatever degree they can. So I'm going to look at this story as saying just the way that it was phrased in the question. Yeah, 3 out of 4 ADs believe that there's a 70% chance of there being college football in the fall, and no sport needs fans more than college football, more than college sports. So I'm going to look at this as probably optimistically.
That's good of you, David, and I think there is a lot of that going around. And I think when you read that story, you saw pessimism. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily that the majority felt that way. It's that a group felt that way. And the other thing they got into was the idea that they were going to be facing difficulty if they weren't a Power 5 conference. The smaller schools are going to be really affected by this. And, you know, I wonder, are we going to talk about college athletics without a crowd? Is, you know, we got into that a little bit yesterday about home field and that sort of thing. We talked about that a little earlier in the week. I wonder if that's what we're really talking about here, the idea of college sports going on behind some sort of curtain and without the audience there for it. So, you know, I felt worse, to be honest with you, just because of some of those quotes you mentioned.
I mean, I feel like college football and all sports are kind of in the same boat as the NFL, Major League Baseball. I mean, we're all in the same scenario right here, and it's definitely fair to wonder what college football will look like, or if or when it is delayed. You know, they could move the season potentially to the spring. I've heard some rumblings about that, if it's going to take longer to get everything shored up here in terms of COVID-19. But I don't think at this point there is a much of a chance the season goes on unencumbered, because unlike professional sports where the athletes are actually being paid, in college football, obviously, they are not. And the money that is being brought in is reliant on people packing the stadiums and the television rights and all of these things. And without fans there, and it's going to be really tough.
The answer is yes. It is fair to wonder what college football will look like in this coronavirus world here that we're living in. But I'm going to choose to look at the majority of these D1 ADs saying that there's a 70% chance as optimistic. But, you know, once again, it's just like the NFL. This is a fall sport. Here we are in April. We know April is off the books because of this stay-at-home order, this nationwide stay-at-home order. And we're just going to have to see where we are at the end of April. Hopefully, as Kevin referred to earlier, you know, to these idiots that don't want to take this seriously and don't want to stay home. Hopefully people get themselves in check and start staying home, start taking this seriously, because that's going to help the situation move forward.
If you want sports sooner rather than later, as I do, I think college football could be the leader in all of this. Now, David's right. The college football and the fans and the tailgate and the bands and the cheerleaders and the traditions are unlike any of our other sports. They really are. It's a big, huge part of college football. But these student athletes, college football players, typically do live together. And I think if you were able to go in and sterilize the places that they were going to live and to train, and if each college football player was tested for the virus and there was a green light, why couldn't they live together, train together, play against each other? Now, maybe we'll play less games. Why not start in July if some people believe that the warmer weather would help this whole thing? Also, don't have to play any non-conference games. Just play the conference games, play a conference championship game, and then have bowl season earlier. Maybe it's going to be around Thanksgiving instead of around New Year's Day or beyond. Maybe that's a way to look at it. Again, the 70% are selling hope. The other 20% are the naysayers. You got to believe in something. I believe that that would make sense. But again, I'm not a doctor, but I'd love to hear a doctor tell me if that would make sense.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Lucas Giolito was impressive in a teleconference saying this whole baseball thing must take a backseat to the COVID-19 crisis. Despite calling it a weird vibe, Giolito predicted the White Sox would pick up where they left off whenever they return. Is that easier said than done? And did the time already spent at spring training mean anything at all?
Yeah, I think the time spent at spring training was what created this vibe around the White Sox, which is they really think they got a good team. They're up and running and ready to win. And it really, I loved seeing Lucas Giolito, hearing him talk. I could hear that guy talk all day. He is a very intelligent, bright young guy, articulate guy. He kept everything. He said all the right things. He has the whole thing in perspective. And, you know, he is the one guy that you would worry about just from a contract standpoint that the White Sox, you don't want to lose Lucas Giolito at this point in his career. And I'm really anxious to see what he can do and how good he can be and if he can kind of repeat the wonderful version of himself that we saw last year. Really an amazing breakthrough for a young player. And, you know, he really tapped into something a year ago. And it's just fun to see that happen for a guy. And it just reminded me of what all the possibilities are. Big fan of Lucas Giolito. Really loved last season for him and want to see the White Sox anxious to get the baseball season going for all sorts of reasons. Number one, because it means a return to normal, but also, you know, been looking forward to this season for a while. They haven't won in a while, and I want them to win. And it made me feel happy to see Lucas Giolito. As much as he was talking about the COVID-19 crisis and as much as the weird vibe and all that stuff, but there is great optimism surrounding this team and the youth of it. So I'm optimistic about it, and it was fun to see him.
Well, I think we're so desperate for positivity that hearing him kind of provided some. And he could talk all day about the White Sox vibe and the White Sox spring training. It was just great to hear from him again. Can we get him hooked up for 5 at 5 tomorrow morning? Is that possible? Would he get up at 3 a.m. in California time? That would be a lot of fun. I don't think they're going to necessarily lose anything. It was a really good, productive spring training. A lot of progress, a lot of momentum, a lot of enthusiasm. That's going to be there because the anticipation only heightens. You want to see how good this White Sox team can be. Potential is still there. So, no, it was just really good to hear from a guy who gets it and has that kind of perspective.
I love Lucas Giolito. Love hearing him. Love watching him pitch. And if he himself, personally, can pick up where he left off from last year, that would be great because he had an excellent season. But the White Sox last year were 72-89. I don't want them to collectively pick up where they left off. I want them to be a lot better than they were last year and that they have been the last few seasons. You know, all of the hope and the potential and the expectations we have for this team are all based off of what they're going to do and what they haven't done yet. So until they get out there and play regular season ball and live up to their potential, you know, I don't want to hear about their momentum because they have none. I don't want to hear about progress made in spring training because spring training doesn't mean a damn thing. When they start to play baseball again, real baseball, they need to perform, not pick up where they left off. They need to be much better.
This might be a little easier said than done just because this is like an off season, extended off season, but you know, the restrictions that these guys are under are a little more wide-ranging. They can't do what they usually do probably in a regular offseason to work out and all of that. But, you know, I think half of it is mental. So if you have an optimistic mindset, you're going to be okay coming back. And the spring training doesn't mean a whole lot in my mind. So I think it's going to be fine.
I don't like the White Sox, but I really like Lucas Giolito. I mean, you root for that guy, you cheer for that guy. He talks the talk, he walks the walk. I like everything about this guy. I can't wait for baseball to get back, and I can't wait to watch Lucas Giolito throw the ball.
Oh, you just made me happy saying that. All right, that's the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.